Well, greetings. Time for Arts Live and Local on this gorgeous June 18th. And you're listening to, they call themselves Bando, Finnish duo, and their dad as well, Jemima and Selino Selimpa. And they were here several years back. I don't even remember when, for the Scandinavian Festival. And this weekend, there is a touch of the Scandinavian Festival going on right here in Astoria. They've done quite a job considering the circumstances. Tonight, there's the coronation at 7 o'clock. And tomorrow, the drive-by Optag parade. It's 11 a.m. on Marine Drive near the Columbia River Maritime Museum between 16th and 20th. So be ready to drive slowly. Everyone's going to be out there in their gorgeous clothing, their gorgeous traditional clothing from all the different Nordic and countries. And it's honoring Grand Marshal Lauren Matthews. And then, oh, you missed it, but I didn't. So I'm going to tell you anyway. Riisi Puuro, my favorite. There's more to that name than I'm saying. But I've got a friend who's going to pick up my riisi puuro. That's that wonderful cream rice and fruit soup. But you had to order by yesterday. Sorry, folks. Next year. And at noon on Saturday, there's the flag raising at the future site of the Astorian Nordic Heritage Park, 16th and Marine Drive, right between 15th and 16th. And there's also a Nordic scavenger hunt starting at the Heritage Park where participants can pick up their materials. Anybody is welcome, and it's going to be another gorgeous day. Sunday, there's a church service at 11 a.m. at Bethany Free Lutheran Church, across from Safeway. And there will be readings in Finnish, Danish, Norwegian, and Swedish. No Icelandic. Sorry. But everybody's welcome. It's also in English, and there will be Scandinavian delicacies offered in takeaway packages after the service. So, lots going on, and that's just a beginning. Thanks for being here with me. I am delighted to have folks who are keeping the arts alive and well and coming out of the woodworks these days. It's getting busier and busier. I should mention, if you have an arts event, you should send me an email, carol@kmun.org. If I don't answer within a few days, send me another one. They sometimes get lost. I do want to send out happy birthday wishes to Shanna Marie and the Double Dots, Doug Sweet, and Terry Imogen, and Dan Riley, and you, if it's your birthday, and an anniversary wish to Tori and Dan. And again, whoever you are, if you're celebrating, these joyful wishes go to you too, along with healing for all of us, especially Rosie's family and the Nell and Armstrong, for Jan N, Susie, Shanti. And that's body, mind, heart, and spirit. So I bet it covers all of us. And best way to heal is through the arts. And the Liberty is a happening place again. Jennifer Crockett is here to tell us the good news. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Carol. Thanks Woo-hoo. For having me.
You bet. So you're doing a couple of things. You're the executive director of the Liberty Theater. Am I correct?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, yes.
You are correct. You can say it. You
okay.
Can announce it.
That's great. Jennifer Crockett will be staying as the fabulous executive director of the Liberty Theater. We just learned a few days ago, and we are very happy about that. And one of the reasons, in addition to bringing the liberty to life in all its forms, and we'll talk about that in a minute, is that you have put together the North Coast Performing Arts Alliance. And I wonder if you can tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, that has been a really rewarding thing that has come out of the last year. When we were all closing down and nobody knew what was going to happen in the future, I realized, you know, the Liberty has a large network of donors and patrons and elected officials and foundations that would help us weather the storm. And I was worried about the smaller organizations in our county and how they would fare through it. So we positioned the Liberty as a backbone agency for 17 performing arts agencies across the county.
Wow.
Our board quickly adopted a temporary mission through the pandemic to become a catalyst organization.
Mm-hmm.
And the North Coast Performing Arts Alliance, it includes everything from the Coaster Theater down in Cannon Beach, Encore Dance, Maddox Dance in Warrenton, Kala, the PAC, or the Charlene Larson Performing Arts Center, Astor Street. There's 17 of us, and we still meet every other week, and we talk about reopening plans, and we're collaborating. Some of the organizations wrote their first grant or did their first fundraising appeal.
Mm-hmm.
That's been great.
This is wonderful, and this is the way community should work, but often doesn't. I didn't even, I'm counting on my fingers as you named six different venues, and you say there are, plus the Liberty, that makes seven. And there are 17. I don't even know what they all are, so I'll have to find that out, because that's very exciting to think that out here at the end of the world, where we love it, there are so many folks with space for performing arts. And those are all kinds of performing arts, too. So you
Absolutely.
Have the dance and theater and music and writers and who else performs?
Gosh. Yeah. A lot. Well, the arts in Clatsop County, according to a survey that Americans for the Arts did here 2 or 3 years ago, the arts in Clatsop County are a $15 million industry. So, aside from how much the arts mean to all of us, it's also, an economic driver for this area. So
absolutely.
We realized we couldn't lose it.
Absolutely. And that's, that's one of the exciting parts. That was the, the Clatsop Arts, the Arts Alliance of Clatsop County. It's still happening. I'm sorry. I was on it for 3 years, but snooze you
okay.
lose.
I'm on it now.
Oh, well.
It's the Arts Council of Clatsop County.
Thank you. It's ACCC. I could never remember how many A's and how many C's. That's right. Arts Council of Clatsop County. Thank you, Jen.
Yep.
Okay. But this is wonderful that you've stepped up. And I think everybody coming together is such a healthy move for our community, too, and becoming aware of who's doing what and how to complement one another and
absolutely
raise the level of participation for all as well. So in the meantime, in addition to the North Coast Performing Arts Alliance, you've got stuff happening, as a matter of fact, this weekend even at the Liberty. Tell us about it.
Yeah, we were originally going to be filming a virtual program with 45th Parallel. And then as we were planning, we realized the county had moved into a lighter risk level. So we then said, okay, well, maybe we'll just open this up to a handful of people for donors and things. And then the county moved into a lower risk level. And then we said, well, why don't we make this our first public event? And
so
we're opening on Sunday at 4:00. It's kind of a soft opening. We have a brand new concession stand that we're excited to try out. We have a brand new box office we're excited to try out.
are you still selling tickets at the website as well?
Yep, they're on sale online, and then our box office just opened back up on Wednesday. So we have our old box office hours.
Okay, and where is the box office now?
So now the box office is inside the glass doors, inside our vestibule. So you can come in out of the weather and have a chat and get your tickets, and it's a much nicer experience than standing in the rain on the side of the building and then, you know, cramming into that closet.
Right. I agree. Oh, God, that room was so tiny. Poor Sen. So are there any COVID restrictions still on? Numbers or masks or what? Distance?
Yeah, we're following all of the local and state guidelines that are currently in place for masking and distancing, and then we will reevaluate when the state reevaluates and sends out more information. So, but for right now, we're operating under the current guidelines.
Okay. But there's plenty of room, even with any restrictions. There's plenty of room for anyone to either go online, libertyastoria.org, or just show up by 3:45, I would say, or something like that, and get your tickets and bring a friend. Terrific. Okay. I almost forgot. Not everybody's ever heard of the 45th Parallel Universe Orchestra. What is it? Why should they come?
It's a group out of Portland. It's primarily comprised of all of the principal players in the Oregon Symphony. So it's got the principal clarinetist, the principal bassoonist, the principal cellist.
So they
sort of have 45th Parallel is the umbrella organization, and then there's a bunch of different configurations of chamber music ensembles that run under that umbrella. So every show, even though it says it's 45th Parallel, it just is basically the umbrella organization. It's something completely different every time.
Right. I love that group, those groups, because they are so diverse and exciting. I'll never forget hearing that music in the totally darkened Liberty Theater. That was a phenomenon that I don't expect to ever find replicated. So this Sunday at 4 p.m. is the concert. That's June 20th. And what
is
the...
I'm playing with them, too.
Yeah. What are you playing, Jennifer?
Well, it's kind of cool. So on their program, they're doing a Courcel quartet for clarinet and strings, and then they're doing the Brahms quintet for clarinet and strings. And then James Shields, the principal clarinetist of the Oregon Symphony, who's playing in the program, found this Mozart quintet for clarinet, basset horn, and strings, and it's unfinished, and it's very rarely performed. And James did some time digging and found it, and so I'm playing clarinet, and he's playing basset horn on it, and it is a really delightful piece that nobody hears performed.
And it seems to me that's what 45th Parallel is about. They find something different. Well, of course, because otherwise they could just stick to the symphony. So this this is wonderful to have top of the line musicians exerting their originality in a group. So, okay. Yeah. And that is this Sunday. And then what's next after that?
July, we have, it's almost all about kids in July. We have Missoula Children's Theater coming back for the first time since before the pandemic. And there's info for that on our website. And then we are extending our spaces to Astoria School District. They'll be using the Liberty spaces for their summer camps.
Oh, wow. Okay,
yeah.
Nice.
We have room to spread out. And then in August, we are throwing a huge block party,
woo-hoo!
August 7th. So.
And which, I presume it's 12th Street, since the Liberty's on 12th. Okay. And we'll hear, is there anything you can tell us about that now?
It's pretty exciting. It's the first year that we're doing this, and we hope to do this every year. Mm-hmm. It's going to be on 12th Street between Commercial and Duane from about 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. We have two bands. Sparrow Dance Company is going to dance. We'll have games for the kids. Sasquatch Sandwich Cart's going to pull up. Mm-hmm. We'll have a beer garden and concessions, and it's just sort of a big welcome back to the theater and welcome back to all of our patrons.
Now, what day of the week is the 7th?
It's a Saturday.
Oh, good, because Sunday, 12th Street is the market.
I know. They won't have any cars to move that morning.
That's nice. Okay, and we'll put that on the KMUN website as well and hear more about it. And then I read something about this Ghosts and the Liberty Theater. What's going on, LHAT?
Oh, yeah. The League of Historic American Theaters does a conference every year, and we usually as a staff will attend the conference. This year, like last year, it's virtual. And when it's in person, it's in a different city every year, and you go on a tour of a lot of the theaters in that area. So it's pretty neat. As the ED of the Liberty, I've toured theaters in L.A., and I've toured some theaters in Chicago and, you know, various places whenever the conference takes place. But this year, because it's virtual, the theaters that they invite are submitting recordings, and the theme is haunted theaters. And so they chose the Liberty out of the list of historic theaters across the country.
Nice.
To submit a video, because everybody knows we have some resident haunts here.
Oh, yes, we certainly do. Okay. Well, very exciting. A personal congratulations to you, Jennifer, and to our community that you will be continuing on as the executive director. And then very exciting that the Liberty is reopening. I know the Charlene Larson Center has opened already for small and growing concerts. As a matter of fact, I think the from what I heard, I ushered on a Friday night. By Sunday, the audience had grown exponentially. So people are ready to get back to live theater and music and dance and poetry and everything. And do bring your most beautiful mask, so that you can remember wearing a mask is an act of love, and love and arts are what keep us all going round. So thanks so much, Jennifer.
Thanks for having me.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. So
today is tomorrow. There we go. Tomorrow, as you all have heard, is Juneteenth, which is June 19th, 1865, when the Union Army's General Order No. 3 proclaimed the end of slavery in Texas. How could this be? It was 2.5 years after the Emancipation Proclamation. Scandalous, but so it was. Yesterday, June 17th, 2021, Juneteenth was made an official holiday for the United States. Now, Jamal Bowman, one of our congresspeople, brought to my attention that, by the way, is 156 years later, that people in Texas, black people, and people in many parts of the country, white and black, have been celebrating Juneteenth for many years. So this is great that it's official now. It's legal. Now we need to, as he pointed out, get rid of Jim Crow. And that would be the Jim Crow filibuster. My personal opinion added to that of our congressman. And there's a lot of wonderful music to commemorate this time. I've chosen Nina Simone, thanks to Nevada helping me. There are lots of people are celebrating Juneteenth, including, commemorating, I should say, in Coos Bay, at the Coos History Museum, together with the Oregon Remembrance Project, from 10 until 11 tomorrow morning. Zachary Stocks, who is has a program right here, or a piece every Friday morning at 10 o'clock from his group, the Oregon Black Pioneers. He, together with a number of people and the Remembrance Project and the museum, are going to be commemorating the only documented lynching of a black person in the state of Oregon. It happened on September 18th, 1902. Alonzo Tacker. An incredible tragedy and criminal act. That's tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. at the Coos Bay History Museum. Well, we have some wonderful arts organizations in this area, this county, and they're not all performing arts. What a surprise. That's my little jab, because it used to be that there was very hard to find supporters of performing arts. Our visual arts scene has been wonderful for a long time. And our writers have been here, especially poetry. But a few years ago, the Astoria Writers Guild came about, thanks to Marion Monson and others. And together with the Astoria Visual Arts, the AVA that does so much in this community, they formed the Writer in Residence program, and a writer's residency. And my guest, Sarah Buckmaster, is right this moment, probably writing furiously, taking a break just to talk to us. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Carol. How are you?
I am well, thank you. So, am I right? Have you been working hard this week?
Yes, I have. I've been, right now I'm looking out of the water of the Wallapa Bay because I've been there for the week, and it's been relaxing, but also I've been just working on my novel, so it's been wonderful.
So, has it helped to be able to have this arts residency? Thank you to Buzz and Lisa, where you're, I presume, mostly alone? Is that how it works?
Yeah, do you know, it's been amazing because it's a week long. And so at first I thought, I wonder how long it will take to really get into it. You know, sometimes it can take a few days to wind down from the real world.
Mm-hmm.
But this space is so beautiful. And so it's the Spotted Goat Cottage. So it's on their property and it's kind of next door to them, but it's really private. And the level of escapism you get just straight away, as soon as I arrived, I felt just, you know, that long sigh you let out. And I was like, oh, okay, this is going to be just perfect.
Wonderful.
And Lisa is incredible. And each day she brings me lunch. And she just rings the bell outside and the lunch is outside. And then, you know, you're on your own for the day. But equally, I've been introduced to people, you know, from AVA and from the Writers Guild and other writers and artists. So it's a nice combination of solitude for writing, but also that little bit of inspiration that you need so you don't go crazy in your own head as you're focusing
yes.
too hard on something.
Yes. And you said the name is the Spotted Goat Cottage right here on
yeah.
the Long Beach Peninsula. We'll have yeah. to talk to them about that sometime, about the name. But you, everybody can hear now that you're speaking, mm-hmm. that you are not... American is not your first language. How about I put it that way?
That's really true. You know, no, it isn't. So I actually came out to the coast about 6 years ago. So it was the beginning, well, five and a half. But the beginning of 2016, I got asked to move out here to work for a nonprofit. And the boss lived in Portland, and she had a house in Manzanita, and she didn't have any money to pay me at the time. And she said, would you come out and work for me for a few months and stay on the coast, and we'll just see how the nonprofit goes? So I kind of packed my bags, and within 2 weeks was just standing at Portland Airport, ready to give it a go.
Where had you been? Were you in the States already?
No, I was in the UK.
Oh, you were?
I was in the south coast of England.
Oh, yeah, my gosh.
I was contracting for other nonprofits and just doing communications and fundraising.
And you, Anna, did you look on the web and say, well, it is the Pacific Ocean. I guess it's going to be nice.
Do you know what? It's kind of an interesting story that back in 2009, I'd worked as a field biologist down in Texas, counting birds. I mean, it was beautiful. And I did a road trip from the south up the coast to Seattle before I flew out. And I stopped at this viewpoint in Oregon. And I just had this feeling that it was where I was meant to be. You know, when your body is like,
yes.
Oh, my gosh, this is a place I'm meant to be.
Yes.
But I pushed it to one side because I thought, how would I ever, you know, these coastal communities, it's not like I could come and easily get a job. And mm-hmm. I was studying for my master's at the time, so I didn't think much about it. And when she rang and offered me this job, I got to Portland Airport and we drove out to go to her house and we stopped at a viewpoint and she said, there's my house down there. And it was exact same viewpoint the 5 or 6 years previously.
Absolutely. Yes. Magical.
It was such an amazing experience. I've never quite had it that, you know, something like that happen before.
That's pretty clear that, yes, you were meant to be here. So, so you have been living where since then?
Well, so to be honest, it hasn't been the easiest because I've been on like a business visa. So I've been back and forth over those 6 years, kind of mainly here, but also going back to the UK. And I've spent most of the time in Seaside, actually, because we got the nonprofit going in those 3 months, which was amazing. And so then I became kind of a full-time contractor for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I spent that time in Seaside. And then the last couple of years, I moved up to Astoria. Although last year I went back to the UK for a big chunk because of COVID.
Yes.
I had to go back there. And so I kind of came back here in January and then have been back in Astoria since then.
Just curious, what part of the UK are you from? Or is your family?
I'm from the south coast, so near Brighton. So just right south of London.
Yes.
So quite a similar, I feel like this is very similar climate and community in the same way that Brighton and those coastal towns in the UK is.
Made the transition a little bit easier.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this this nonprofit, what is it? And you said something about communications and fundraising.
Yes. Yeah. So I've always kind of done the communications and fundraising for different nonprofits. And the one I came over here to contract for, it was looking at systems thinking for social change. So really it was training anyone working in a social change field. So that could be any nonprofit or education or the arts. And we would work to put those kind of leaders through management training because it might not be something they would have funding for or access to.
Mm-hmm.
So I did the communications, kind of all the online, the websites and all their social media and that kind of strategy. And to be honest, I feel that I've always worked in that because I've loved writing, but I've always written my personal stuff in my private time, and I haven't quite had that confidence to share it. So I went into a career where I could write, but with very space boundaries.
And that's kind of that's where we're heading, because I understand you are working on your first novel.
Yes, I am.
Woohoo! So that's where I was trying to make that leap from, and you just gave it to us because you loved writing communications. And so tell us a little bit about this. Have you been working on it for a long time? And does it have do you have a real idea of what you wanted, or is it growing, or how does this all, the process?
Yeah. Do you know, I've been working honestly on this specific novel probably for like 7 to 8 years from when the idea came to me. And it's been one of those processes where I feel the idea kind of just came to me fully formed and sat with me, but then I've stopped and started and gone back into it. And then, so I'm right now have almost a kind of full first draft that I've been working this week to try, and it's got some gaps in it. And I've just spent this week really trying to look at the bigger picture of it and get it to that next stage where I can start having people maybe read it and go through the editing process. So this has really been a good just jolt of attention on it that almost, sometimes you need a bit of a shove with personal writing, I think, that maybe got a bit stuck in a rut, and this is like, no, you have to share it now. Let's focus on it.
That's right, and that's exactly, because the spotlight, the writer's residency, North Coast Writer's Residency, is a gift. There's no doubt about it. However, there is your responsibility as well, and that's, I understand, happening tomorrow evening. Is that right?
Yeah, so tomorrow at the AVA Gallery, I'm doing a reading, so it's 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., and I'll just be talking for about 20 to 25 minutes around the novel, and then I'm going to read a little sample of it, just to give people a taster of what it sounds like. So, I'm excited. It's nerve-wracking as well, but I think that it's such a great opportunity to have a friendly audience.
Exactly. Yes.
Listen to what I'm working on.
Yes, it's wonderful that you have support. Now, is this happening actually in the AVA Gallery?
Yes. Yes, I believe so, because there's an amazing exhibition there right now. I think Deanna Anthony's artwork is in there. And she's done these beautiful 3D material sculptures.
Mm-hmm. Soft sculpture.
So we're going to hopefully be able to read still in that space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, lovely space. And that is right on the corner of Duane and
10th.
Boy,
yes.
The numbers just all started to jumble. I'm thinking of you in the Spotted Goat Cottage. And I think I just took a trip over there. I'm just saying. So,
10th. It is stunning here. It's kind of, you do feel in your own. I have felt in a bit of a bubble. You're just in this kind of slice of paradise.
Yeah, well, you might have a little culture shock when you come back, get back out home. But what a wonderful gift. Now, I understand there is another writer who will be taking part in the residency, Deborah Williams, professor of literature at NYU Abu Dhabi. And I presume that the AVA and the AWG, the Astoria Visual Arts and the Astoria Writers Guild, will be keeping this going. So you might want to, folks, if you're listening and saying, whoa, how do I sign up for that? Go to the website, Astoria Visual Arts or Astoria Writers Guild. And for sure, if you're able to come out tomorrow evening, I don't know what time that's happening. Do you have that?
It's 6 o'clock. It's starting tomorrow.
Okay. So at 6 o'clock at the AVA Gallery. And again, that's 10th and Duane, that beautiful big blue building. And the AVA is right on the corner. And meet Sarah Buckmaster. Is there anything you can tell us about your novel that you're willing to give away in a minute?
It's a novel focus. It's a dystopian novel. So it's looking at a future in San Francisco where depression has become the new plague. So it's very much exploring ideas of mental health and mental illness, but in a lighthearted, well, I don't want to say lighthearted, but kind of a satirical sense that it's looking at a world where the idea of mandatory happiness has gone too far.
Mm.
So it's a character who's really struggling to live up to these high happiness standards.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone that shows any sign of depression, because it's believed to be contagious, is immediately removed and sent to government-run well-being camps.
Oh, boy.
So,
Wow. Now, do you remember where this came to you? Because you said it came to you that this is what you wanted to write. Were you in a depressed state of mind and worried someone was going to remove you, or?
Well, do you know, it's funny, because I am someone that's definitely suffered with depression since I was a teenager, so it makes sense that this area is something I'm interested in digging into. But it was, in fact, I don't know if it was the same in the States, but about 10 or so years ago in the UK, there was this huge focus on happiness psychology, and there was very much this communication that there were ways to make yourself happy, scientific evidence that there were 10 steps to happiness, and it became a real kind of fad. And I think what happened is I was naturally drawn to it because we all want that magic answer. I mean, who doesn't want to be happy? So I was kind of pulled into it, but equally skeptical. And I think as my disillusionment with it grew and I saw the monetization and how it was offering an answer to something that actually is just, you know, how the human condition is, we are kind of complicated in our emotions. Mm-hmm. We have to have the good and the bad and everything in between. And so I think the idea came to me when I started thinking about the maybe shadow side of what I call like the happiness movement.
Yeah.
I started thinking, okay, well, what's the unintended consequences of this? And now people talk a lot about toxic positivity, and it's kind of people are becoming more and more aware of how that doesn't work. And this the good vibes only approach can be more damaging. So I think it came to me really at that point where I love dystopian literature and I love anything that explores more the dark side of humanity. So I think that that interest in that type of literature and then those experiences with this happiness movement just made me want to create a world where we saw, well, what would happen if we really made happiness allowed?
Took it all the way to its... Well, I'm looking forward to meeting you in person and hearing your reading and reading the book as well. Yeah. So, and congratulations to you on getting your book shaping up a lot more and on having this writer's residency. And thank you for being here. Thanks for being here with us at KMUN.
Thank you for having me. It was lovely to talk to you.
Same here. Sarah Buckmaster, the writer in residence with AVA and Astoria Writers Guild, tomorrow evening at the AVA Gallery, 6 p.m. And this Sunday, we've got someone coming to talk to you about it. It happens to also be Father's Day, and the Liberty, we already spoke about the 45th Parallel concert. It's at 4 o'clock on Sunday. Of course, the Astoria Markets, sorry, the Liberty is, that's on Sunday. And the Astoria Markets are that day as well, but they close at 3. And I'm going to bring Andrew in a second. I just want to mention that tonight and tomorrow night, flamenco dancer Savannah Fuentes is here in our area. She will be at the Ilwaco River City Playhouse tonight at 7:30. And you can go to savannahf.com/performance. Or tomorrow evening at 8 p.m. at Cala in Astoria. That's at brownpapertickets.com. I have no idea how many tickets are left, so check it out. She's a gorgeous dancer, and we'll have beautiful music as well. And, of course, we mentioned the Scandinavian Festival tonight and tomorrow and Sunday. And then let's go to Sunday. Big festival in Cannon Beach, the Tolovana Arts Colony's Art in the Park. Hey, Andrew, are you there?
Did you call?
Oh, I'm sorry. We have music, folks. Oh, my. Yes, I am still sitting in my car, waving my hands at Nevada in the studio. Sorry, folks. I started to say we're celebrating Father's Day, and that would be anyone who is an important adult in your life. And my favorite father song is Judy Collins. So let's hear her, and then we'll go to Andrew. Yeah. And I'm going to send that out to all the good adults doing well by the young people. And those of you who listened last week know that I celebrated my father's 110th birthday exactly 1 week ago. So, and we didn't go to Paris together, but we sure went a lot of other places as a family. I consider myself very, very lucky. And now we're going to Andrew. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, Carol.
I'm glad to have you here. I told everybody we're having a Tolovana Arts Colony is having art in the park this Sunday, and that's 1 to 6. But the park is one that I'm not familiar with. So Andrew is the program director at the Tolovana Arts Colony, so he knows everything. So tell us.
Let's hope so. thank you, Carol. The park is Nakus Park. Nakus Park is where the Akola Creek meets the Pacific Ocean. Otherwise, you might recognize it as the old Cannon Beach Elementary School, which the city of Cannon Beach purchased recently. So this will be the first event held there since the city of Cannon Beach has bought the space to become a meeting place and a gathering place since the school has closed. And, you know, we are also, we're excited to be the first to do it, but we also are very respectful and gracious because this is a space that, you know, cultures have been meeting in for centuries, long before there was ever a place called Cannon Beach. There was, you know, the Clatsop and Nehalem people were meeting there. So it's a very, important cultural space.
So is the school building still there?
The school building is still there. It needs some significant repairs, so it's not open yet. And then when that gets done is an open question. But moving along.
Okay, so you'll be outside for this whole festival.
Yes.
Okay, so tell us what Art in the Park this Sunday from 1 to 6 in Cannon Beach is going to look like. Or sound like, or taste like.
It's going to sound and look and taste like a little like everything. So maybe you know, usually around this time of year, we would just have held Cannon Beach Putts, which is a mini golf tournament that happens throughout the town, and it culminates in a silent auction. And that silent auction is usually our biggest fundraiser of the year. Oh. We haven't been able to do it the last 2 years, right. So we started brainstorming on what's something we could do to help us raise some money, but also to celebrate community, because that's really a big part of what the Cannon Beach Putts event is as well. It's super fun. We all get together before the tourist season goes crazy. So we came up with Art in the Park. We're going to have artists working, selling, showing. Mm. We're going to have a number of performances, musical and other. There will be, along with a couple of groups playing, we're going to have the Coaster Theater doing previews of the two shows that they'll be doing in the park this summer.
Oh, nice.
We have a keynote speech from our board chair, Watt Childress, who will speak to the cultural significance and history of the site. And we'll be barbecuing. So, you know.
It's a party.
Yeah. To bring community back together.
Right. Now, who are the musicians that are going to be playing?
We have three musical acts. There is Bethany Dugan. She is she does kind of fun ukulele songs. We have Adams and Costello, who you're probably familiar with.
Wonderful.
Their bluesy kind of roots rock. And then we have the Cannon Beach stalwarts, Thistle and Rose, harmony and folk songs and sing-alongs.
Right.
Popular favorites that everyone will know.
Absolutely. Paul and Marco and Bob and Lisa, I think. Yeah.
Tammy.
I've seen them recently online, actually, which has been kind of fun because I live 50 miles from Cannon Beach, so I don't always get there for, an hour-long performance. But I do want to mention at this point that Paul Duber sends out, he puts together and sends out a list of all the musical happenings on a regular basis at the Bistro or Seasons Deli or when there's something special going on as well. So folks might want to tap into that as well. So what made you decide that it was time to get out there?
Well, last summer we were able to put together some concerts in the park, and they were terrific. And, they went, with the help of the city of Cannon Beach, everything was safe, and people were super excited to get out. And that's, you know, besides the, you know, pandemic kind of chilling out and going to low risk, we felt, you know, we could do it safely, but also, you know, we could get outside before, again, just like plus before, it, everyone in Cannon Beach just gets overwhelmed by tourism and can't, you know, get away from their businesses or other responsibilities.
So, and this, of course, is a family affair, all age.
Absolutely.
And people can just drop in and out. It's free to come in. Now, will there be vendors? Will there be vendors with art?
Yes.
Yes, we'll okay.
All different types of artists, from weavers to painters to jewelry makers to stained glass. I mean, you know, a little, like I said, a little of everything. Or that's what we're trying for.
And you have assured the weather report.
You know what? It looks like it's going to be 70 degrees on
Woo-hoo!
Sunday. I just looked at it.
Excellent. Good job.
Oh, yeah.
Good job, Andrew. It's hard around here, isn't it? So,
If it would have rained, it would have been kaput. There would have been no way to do it.
Yeah. Weather permitting, as they say.
Yep.
So this is great. Nukus Park, I presume that is a name from either Clatsop Chinook, Nehalem. I had not heard that before.
Yeah, I think you are correct. I would say for anyone who's, you know, I've tried to Google Nukus Park, and that's not going to get you directions. Get Google Cannon Beach Elementary School. Another way to look at it, it's right. When you enter Cannon Beach, you go over the bridge that crosses the Cola Creek, and you'll be able to see us right as you cross the bridge.
Oh, great.
And that's our hope. Everybody coming into town should at least be aware that this is happening. So we're excited about that.
Yeah. And I think it's going to be wonderful. And, yes, it's time for people to be able to come together. And I love the idea that it's outside and people can mask if they wish and keep a distance and do whatever safety measures are comfortable and at the same time see friends and support the arts and support the community. So, bravo.
Yeah, we have plenty of space, and people are also welcome to bring picnic baskets, chairs, you know, blankets, the whole deal.
And is Tolovana Arts Colony offering any classes yet, or have you been offering some online?
We have not gone into the online realm. I feel like there was, you know, as soon as you do that, you're competing against the entire world.
Yeah.
And our thing is really about more of a local thing. We've had classes, you know, our Zumba class never stops.
Oh.
They've been meeting outside. We've done a little pod class for children's cooking. We had a really cool class that a local dance studio in Seaside closed for kids, and a group of moms got together and offered their own dance class, which was really great.
Oh, super. Yeah. I love it.
And one other update. You know, while the Tolovana Hall was mostly closed during COVID, we were able to secure a grant and renovate the place. So we've got a new floor, new lighting, stage lights. It's going to be a whole different ballgame when you're in there. It's going to feel much cozier.
Very, very sweet. That's that Tolovana Arts Colony is just such a gift to the community. Thank you, Uncle Billy and Uncle Mike, I should say.
Yes.
Our good friends. I also want to mention, and it's separate organization, except we're all part of the same organizations. This is the Cannon Beach Arts Association is offering an art camp, and that is July 5 through 9. And this is virtual, cannonbeacharts.org, and it will be /art-camp-at-home. But if you just go to CannonBeachArts.org, I bet you'll find it. And they're fluent in Spanish as well as English.
I believe, Carol, they will deliver in advance of the art camp, they will deliver supplies to kids in need of art supplies.
Right, and I may even be able to get Andrea on next week, but we're not sure about the time. So I wanted to mention, as long as we're talking about art in Cannon Beach, which has always been a central focus of that that town. And I love that your Art in the Park is for the locals. And that includes us up here, too. But as
it
opposed
sure
to all the Portland folks who will be taking over, invading the town. So thank you so much, Andrew. And
thank you, Carol.
Tolovana Arts Colony is alive and well, obviously. So we will be hearing lots more from you.
Huzzah!
Okay. Thanks.
Thanks, Carol.
Okay. Folks, thanks for being here. This is KMUN.org. KMUN Astoria, 91.9 KTCB Tillamook, 89.5 KMUN.org or coastradio.org. And you can take us with you wherever you go. If you happen to have some kind of a device that plays radio. Some of us don't, some of us do. So keep KMUN alive and well. You can always click on the donate button while you are there. And one of our wonderful shows here on Monday, Locus Focus, at 3 p.m. on KMUN and 10 p.m. on our other stream, which is KCPB. Stay well. Treasure each day with gratitude and love. Thanks for being here, folks.